From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys, coming at ya from Dallas, Texas, in the same room. Here with me, I am Hunter Deucing, and with me tonight is brother Stuart Balk. Say hi.
You going, white boy?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's for the second time in Midnight Movie Cowboys history, Stuart Balk has come to these here United States of America, and we are podcasting together in the same room. Now, we have done multiple shows in the same room, but it was in one voyage that you took here. But it was in Memphis, Tennessee. This is the first time that we are recording together in Dallas, Texas. And this is the first of a couple of shows you and I will be doing in the same room. Isn't that right, Brother Stu? Testify!
Yes, it will be.
Oh, it's very nice to have you here, Stuart.
It really is.
Cheers. Nice. Stuart and I are drinking... We are drinking Cooper's Brewery sparkling ale straight out of the wonderful land of Australia.
South Australia.
South Australia.
Hang on.
Where was it bottled? Says South Australia.
Yeah, Australia. South Australia.
Is that a name of a town?
Is there South Australia is a state.
It's a state?
It's a okay. State. Well, Adelaide's a city. South Australia is a state.
Very nice. It is. It's quite. It's good. This sparkling ale. I was kind of worried. I saw sparkling ale. I thought sparkling wine.
No, no. I wouldn't lead you down that road.
Yeah.
No.
This is good. This is my first time out. Because the only Australian beer we get is that Foster's garbage, which we have done many bits on. This is my first time having another brew out of Australia. And I will say that this is going to be my go-to Australian beer from here on out.
Well, there's not much other choice.
Exactly. Yeah,
when I went down, well, if I hear it, you said to me, oh, Stu, I drank Foster's, like, well, there you go. Who's never again?
Exactly. But so Stuart and I been hanging out the past few days. What have you been doing in Texas so far, Stu?
Oh, fuck, that's strong.
Yeah.
Stayed with Mr. and Mrs. Jedi Cole, and I want to thank them for their hospitality, which was unmeasured.
Yes.
And we will be catching up again with Mr. and Mrs. Jedi Cole tomorrow, you and I, at the movies, which will be a podcast that you would have just heard.
Yeah, it's going to drop before this one.
Yes, it will.
So, that introduction I did, I might need to do it twice. So when you listen to this, you're going to be like, what? We just heard you guys in the same room. But yeah, you've just heard us do Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And you've heard our thoughts on that. And you already know them before we do, because we don't know what they are yet. We haven't seen it.
No.
So that'll be interesting.
We have been forewarned that Hunter's not going to like it and Stuart's going to hate it.
Yes, Mr. Andrew Farmer of the Netflix Roulette, which should be coming back soon. Andrew's working on a project we did together, so that's coming down the pipe.
It's called Gaining Some Weight.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, we're looking forward to that. We're going to see that at the historic Texas Theater.
Yes.
Where Mr. Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested. And, as I must remind everybody, I'm sure I've said that a million times on the show, but,
Yeah, I'll be going there in my jeans and white t-shirt tomorrow.
Yeah. But we've been grilling. You know, we grilled with Andrew and Cole and Catherine and Eddie.
There was a big do at Cole's house on Saturday night after the podcast that we did live in the studio.
Yeah, for Hey Kids Comics.
Hey Kids Comics. That was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. If you go to, what's the website where it's...
Daily Motion and type in Hey Kids Comics.
Yeah, Daily Motion, type in Hey Kids Comics, you can see
and
that.
And it'll be the, for the week of, what was it, the 10th?
Yeah.
The 5th or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. It's
9th or the 5th, sorry.
Yeah,
May 9th.
May 9th. And you can hear some extremely hot fuzzy mics.
Yeah. It was the mics were rather hot, but
yeah.
That won't detract from the how funny
and
it was.
And you can see me taste Vegemite for the first time.
Yeah.
And Andrew.
And Andy and Cole. And Catherine tried
to a lesser extent. Yeah. I think she licked
she
it.
She did admit she had half a teaspoon and was like, oh, no.
Yeah, she was like, no more.
No more.
But so, Stu and I went and I was teaching today, and I came home, and Stu and I decided, we planned out an epic evening. We were like, we need to do a podcast.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? We're going to go get beer.
Hang on, what did you come home and find me watching?
I came in my place, and Stu's sitting on the couch with my dog watching Ted Nugent Ultra Ballistic Live Rock.
And you walked right in when he was talking about the, here's my permit, fuck you.
Here's my Second Amendment permit. Come and take it, motherfucker.
It's like perfect timing.
You like your Second Amendment, don't you?
Yeah. So anyway, as you said, we said, well, we're going to do something.
Yeah.
Because we'll be spending the night in.
Mm.
So, let's get some pizza.
Yeah, we tried a pizza place near here. I've been wanting to try. But
Old Chicago.
Good shit. Yeah, it was good, tasty pizza.
Yeah.
And
the black woman goes, oh, man, I love your accent.
See, yeah, Stuart's been getting hitting on by the sisters a lot lately.
Yeah, the black girls love the...
Yeah. they love...
Australia.
The Australians. And...
It's
and so then we went and got some beer. We got some Texas beer and some Australian beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Texas beer was Shiner Light Blonde to offset nice. This is heavy stuff.
I told you it's strong.
It's not
you could knock back three or four of these, it'll fuck your head.
Kicks you in the chest like a kangaroo.
Like the one on the top of the bottle.
Exactly. So Stu and I were like, well, what are we going to talk about? And we were looking through our movies, and most movies it was like, can't talk about this without John.
Yeah.
The Stranger can't do that without John.
Yeah.
Invaders from Mars, John probably want to do that. Mr. Majestic can't do it without John.
Yeah, that's right.
Sacrilegious. There were several others. And then Stu goes, oh, UHF.
Yeah. Because I actually, in all honesty... When I was back home before I came over to America again, I said I wanted to do a UHF episode.
Yeah.
I really did. Because I've been listening to a lot of Weird Al. I'm like, oh, wow, UHF would be a good conversation. I know you had liked it.
Oh, I loved it. When I was younger, I loved it. And I went back and watched it when the Blu-ray came out. And still funny.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous and it's a ridiculous dumb, but it's
movie.
Fun.
Yeah.
But I was a big Weird Al fan from when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah, me too, obviously, with Eat It was, well, there you go, how did you first hear Weird Al and where?
I heard, first song I heard was Amish Paradise.
Oh, okay, so it was,
yeah, so it was a little later.
97, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was like mid-90s.
Yeah.
And I went back and I was listening to, the one where it has like the Nirvana cover, but he's chasing a donut.
Smells like...
Well, it had Smells Like Nirvana on there.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the album was called. And then there's Alapalooza, which has Jurassic Park. And Dare to Be Stupid.
Off the Deep End.
Off the Deep End.
That was it. Yeah, yeah.
Off the Deep End. And I was finding all the... You know, I was listening to a lot of his stuff because I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like the Smells Like Nirvana songs about how nobody can understand Kurt Cobain's lyrics. And now it's just... Like noise for your
all
parents.
The marbles in
my mouth and the like, you know,
the Seattle farm noise.
Yeah. So you know, I thought he was really funny. I thought Amish Paradise was really great.
It was very good.
Mm.
That's the thing with Weird Al. He'll lay low, and you won't really hear much from him. And then all of a sudden, bam! He'll just bring out a song and be fucking huge.
Yeah, he like that last album, Mandatory Fun.
Yeah.
He put out like a music video every day for like a week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was putting them out. He was just throwing them out. Like he did Tacky, which was the Happy parody.
Yeah.
Word Crimes for Blurred Lines.
Yeah.
He did that one for Royals, Aluminum Foil. You know, but you know, it was a pretty strong slate of songs. for this for that last record. But you know, when he put whenever he puts out a new record, it's like an event, and it's just kind of funny because you go back and you look at the artists he's made fun of, and he's outlasted so many of them. A lot of them, it's like, where are they now?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like Crash Test Dummies. You know, like
Cobain, he's dead.
Kurt Cobain. You know, one of my favorite polkas was Angry White Boy Polka. All the new metal bands.
I like when he does those because he's a very talented accordion player. Well, and he's no relation to Freddie Yankovic, by the way.
Oh, really?
No, he's not.
No.
The very famed polka accordion player. I own one of his albums.
What was it? But you know what's funny is like what's really interesting about him is that he and his band are able to, like, recreate those sounds in the studio.
Yeah.
From those bands, because, you know, if he was lazy, he could just take the tracks or whatever and, like, dub over it and it would sound like shit.
Yeah.
But he and his band, they go in and they find that sound. And sometimes I've heard it's very difficult because some of those, especially back in the day when you had to get everything on tape.
Yep.
You had to get it just right.
He's had the same band for 21 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Not one member's left. It's a pleasure to work with Al. So they've all stuck around. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Not many bands can do that. Even though nobody really knows the names of the musicians in the band, but they're just as vital as Al's lyrics and Al's songwriting.
Well, yeah, because I mean, it takes a good band to really nail all that stuff and make it sound authentic.
Yeah,
like that Dire Straits song.
Oh, that was
like
brilliant.
When they did Money for Nothing as Beverly Hillbillies, which is in UHF, like they get that guitar tone just right.
Perfect.
It's perfect.
Which is not easy to replicate.
No.
That was a pretty unique sound that Mark Knopfler got with Dire Straits, you know, the original track.
Mm-hmm.
But cutting back to Weird Al, I first heard him in 83 with Eat It when it came out.
Well, and it was the song that got him noticed was My Bologna, right?
From, I think, 79.
Yeah, it was a
parody, like, of the Mascherano by the Neck.
Yeah, yeah, and he showed it to them, and he recorded it, like, in a bathroom at a radio station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He got big via Dr. Demento.
Yeah, because he was a big Dr. Demento fan.
Was. And surprising, we just finished watching the movie. No Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he might have got a cameo in there for as a thank you, from Al, but I don't know, maybe he just couldn't do it or something.
Yeah, you can't always get everything to happen. But.
No. But that was my first foray into Weird Al.
Because that video for Eat It was great, too.
It was, actually. The song was more entertaining than Stupid Jackson's one. <wasn't>
it? Yeah, it totally was. But yeah, I saw UHF when I was a kid, and I remember watching it, and I remember I was watching it, my dad came home. And he came home while Al was doing the Rambo bit where he's mowing everybody down. And my dad was like, what are you watching?
Dad always gets the best times.
Well, he came home like from a trip too. So it was like his first thing, like after being gone for a week, walking in the house, and there's Al going, and people are blowing up. My dad's like, what's going on? And I was like, hi, Dad.
Anyway, he
tells that story all the time.
A bit of a fun fact that this was actually known as the Vidiot from UHF in Australia.
Really?
On VHS.
I can see that on the cover, that Weird Al cover where it's the
It was the same thing. It was the same poster, but just known as the Vidiot from UHF. And of course, Vidiot being that term that was used a lot on MTV. When I had to try to track down the DVD later on when it came out, I'm typing in Vidiot and nothing's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like, UHF, it's got a different title.
Right? Yeah, it's like, what was it, Airplanes Flying High?
And of course, the old, the great one, Thief is known as Violent Streets.
Violent Streets.
Not anymore, but it was on VHS, yeah.
Violent Streets.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kahn.
You ought to see the cover, mate. Jim Belushi.
Violent Streets.
Yeah, it was, the trailer wasn't far off that. It was really tacky.
Willie Nelson is a cancer-stricken prisoner. Jimmy Kahn is trying to get him out in time. Violent Streets, a film by Michael Mann.
Actually, if I recall, I think the trailer had nothing. No lines. Maybe a few, and it was all the Tangerine Dream music back, really, more. They were highlighting that. But, so it was known as the Vidiot from UHF, and I think when I got the DVD release back home, I think it trans, you know, went back to UHF.
Okay.
He's got the original. Like the Australian, whoever does the ratings or the film commission goes, yeah, we look pretty stupid doing this.
Well, but do they know, is UHF a thing in Australia?
Oh, sure.
Okay, UHF so that's an actual term over there.
On terrestrial.
It's not like airplane where it's like nobody knows what that is, you know, because it's spelled differently.
People are sick of having a title flying high, to be honest with you. They're like, why can't we get airplane?
But their thought process is nobody spells airplane like that here. They spell it aeroplane.
Aeroplane, yeah.
You know, so maybe they were like, we'll avoid confusion. But Flying High is a worse title. They could have just called it Aeroplane or something, yeah. You know. But I didn't know if maybe UHF wasn't a term that was.
Oh known. Yeah, we had okay. VHF, UHF. You know.
Okay. Okay. Well, so then there's no excuse.
No. You know? None of the film title changes they've done have ever had a legitimate reason to do it. It's just, you know, them being stupid as usual.
I remember just, like, I found out Weird Al had a movie, and I was like, oh, I gotta see it, you know? And it was totally, like, worth it, because you got to see, like, the movie's concept is great, because you just get all these bits, like, these sketches.
They're sort of strung together.
And it's, what's funny about it is that, okay, so, like, in the movie, Weird Al plays this guy with, like, an overactive imagination.
Yeah.
And... he can't hold down a job, and he and his buddy keep getting fired from everything. And, you know, his girlfriend, played by Victoria Jackson of SNL fame.
Very poorly as well. I don't like her.
Well, she has that voice that's kind of grating.
Advice,
yeah, okay, Stanley. But, so he inherits a failing UHF station. And picks it up, and there's a janitor that works for him named Stanley Spadowski, played by Michael Richards, who's really kind of the star of the show.
He is, yeah. I think he's the best in the film.
Yeah, like Michael Richards, who does not go on a racist rant at any point during the movie.
Although if you had a set with us, we replicated that racist rant.
Anytime Michael Richards poked his head around the corner, we would quote his meltdown at the Laugh Factory or whatever. Yeah.
You are the hells of laughter amongst us.
But especially because his character is so, like, bewildered looking all the time in this.
Yeah.
But so...
and kid-friendly.
Yeah, right? he starts a show called Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse, where he makes kids drink from the fire hose, and find the marble in the oatmeal and other wonderful activities. But it becomes this huge hit, and much to the ire of the evil corporate affiliate station... in town, which kind of gives it that sort of snobs versus slobs edge to it, like a Caddyshack or Animal House or something. And so, you know, they try to take the station away from them through some shady business deals, and they got to raise the money to save the station.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've seen, it's a plot you've seen a million times.
Plenty of times.
But because it's this TV station, you get to constantly cut away to these crazy commercials like Spatula City.
Yeah.
And there's this car salesman who will club the baby seal to death if you don't come and buy a car.
I'll sell a car next time. I'm going to club this baby seal.
He's like, I'm doing it. The seal's like, arr.
We got film parodies of Conan the Barbarian, which was Conan the Librarian.
Yes, my favorite is the guy going, these books are late, sorry, and he just like slices him in half with his broadsword.
Yeah.
And there's our favorite is
Gandhi 2. Give me a steak, meaty rare.
And it like him like put like put punches his fist through people.
Yeah,
he's like mowing people down. He's got like girls on his arms. No more, Mr. Passive Nonviolence. there's just tons of great bits in there. And Weird Al's daydreams too, like when he daydreams that he's Rambo, and he even part of his face looks paralyzed. Like it does. Stallone's.
And also, I was going to mention to you, but I'll say it here, his actual body style in the film with a little sagging muscle looks like Stallone now.
Now it does.
It's like
it
a, it's like a, you know, a prophecy of what, think of how Sly would look now. And I go, man, it looks like it looks like the melted cheese in our pizza we had tonight. That
yeah,
party.
He does. Yeah. Like, because
Iggy Pop.
Weird Al, there's like foam muscle suit on.
Yeah. Yeah. Which looks pretty good.
It was, yeah, well, I mean...
It's not one of those crappy padded ones.
Oh, absolutely. It's not like that, but it's, it looks good for what it is, but you can tell it's a fake.
It's not Al.
You can tell it's not his body.
No, but, not at all.
But, you know, you get the Indiana Jones bit, and you get, you get all that stuff, but it's, I don't know, like, it kind of has a little bit of that Abram Zucker feel to it, like, with the sort of random humor.
It does. Yeah, it does a bit.
Like, it's a mix of that with the sort of 70s, 80s snobs versus slobs comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you get some of those Al music videos in the middle, like with Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies, yeah. The Ballad of G. Clampett. And also we get the song UHF on the end. And what we did, or what you did, is you put on the actual... I said, what are you doing? You cut the credits off. I go, what are you doing? And you put the and Hannah put the music video on the special features for UHF. We were pissing ourselves. Yeah, all the... all the parodies Al was doing with Guns N' Roses. Yeah. And,
I love the guitar player as Slash. You couldn't even see his face.
He's just hair.
Like, hair just like... But like, and I think that's the first time that I can think of that Al was seen without a mustache.
Yeah, because I think this is pretty much the last time after... It was... This is 89, right? For UHF. 1989.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. That
but Al got rid of his mustache in the late 90s.
Oh, the late 90s.
Yeah, because it was when he did the album Running with Scissors.
That's right.
And
yeah.
he did the legend, The Saga Begins, which was the American Pie.
Which, that was the big thing got him back into
which
it.
I thought he did look remarkably like, when he was in that video, I thought he did look a bit like Ewan McGregor or something.
He did, yeah, yeah. But let me ask you something. Mm. What Al look is more, what are you sort of...
The mustache and the glasses is weirder. That's why it's better.
Oh, I like that.
I think it's more iconic.
Yeah, it is.
Like he's more hip without the mustache.
Yeah, and a long poodle-y sort of hair.
I mean, I think I don't know. And you know, you can't. I don't know if you want to keep the same look forever, but
it is a drastic change.
It is like that because Al looked like a dork, like with that mustache and glasses,
and the curly and big frizzy
and the
hair.
Big frizzy hair, and now his hair is like kind of straight. He's more, he looks more like a traditional comedian now. And I do miss the iconic, like just going for it with the nerdy look. You know?
Did you ever see his TV show?
Yes, a long time ago.
Yeah,
Harvey the Wonder Hamster.
Yeah, I've got it.
I think the same guy. I think Jay Levy, his writing partner, worked on that.
Yeah. If I recall correctly. But
what did I say during the opening credits of the stew?
What am I going to say? You aren't every good comedian is a Jewish writer.
Yeah. I just an observation I made out loud during the opening credits because it's a Weird Al and Jay Levy.
Jay Levy, yeah. But for a film, what are we talking about now? 26 years old?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I was sitting there going, oh boy, this is really aged badly. But
you know, some of the gags like are just kind of, they're not full jokes. They're kind of references, but that fortunately most of them still land. Like I love the dude from the John Hughes movies, the Asian guy. Like smashing people out windows, going, "You're so stupid!" And then like the guy's fist will punch through the wall to be like, "Where? What time is it?" The guy's fist will go through the wall to be like, 7:30. Whoa!
And when they opened the door, they had the word supplies on it.
Oh, supplies! That was probably the most racist joke in the show.
Actually, you know, I've forgotten all about that.
Oh, when I saw that, I forgot that was in there. They opened the supplies closet, and there's a bunch of kung fu guys in there. They go, "Supplies!" They beat them up.
Yeah.
Oh. And it has that guy from the Scorsese movies as the lead goon.
David Pruble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And it had John Paragon, who I told you was very heavily associated with Elvira's work in the 80s on the TV show.
Yeah, he plays the sniveling son of the evil corporate, old dude.
And I think, if I recall, he's in Eating Raoul as well.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah,
he seems like he'd totally be in the Paul Bartel crowd, troupe of comedians.
For sure. If I remember, I think he was friends with Bartel in the 70s or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so that would make sense. My problem with the film was not over long. No, not long at all. But Victoria Jackson was just like, she was bad.
Yeah, she's kind of a...
She's just a one note. I mean, she was the same in Casual Sex. She was like, thank God it was counteracted by,
what's her name?
Caroline in the City. I can't
forget it. Oh, I forget her name.
Yeah,
her. Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson, yeah. Thank you. I can't.
Leah Thompson.
We've been drinking beer, so, you know.
Brain fog.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Victoria Jackson's got the voice and the, you know.
Yeah, but it's like an act which is just ridiculous, and it's just grating on the
ears. She's not really in the movie that much, though, you know.
She's not, and I think, look, I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be cut shortly, the Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray?
Yeah.
I don't think, there's nothing I remember
there
that
is.
Was cut.
Okay, you know when Elle gets her all those cards and balloons and mm-hmm. I love yous? If I remember, and I might be wrong, I might be imagining this. I think on the DVD, especially VHS, she would walk into that room, it was cut shorter on the Blu-ray.
Well, what was missing?
Okay, what happened was she'd go into the room and it'd be like this voice of Elle going, I love you, I love you. I love you. Because I remember I remembered that. Okay. Why it'd be cut, I don't know. There's no reason for it to. Look, if I'm...
How does that happen? I mean, like, how does that happen, though? Because that does happen where, like, a Blu-ray edition will leave some shit out, you know?
I don't know, maybe...
Like, what was it with that Batman set that came out? They, like, left a bunch of an episode out or something?
Oh, the television series. Yeah they... Yeah, well, we won't go on too much of a tangent about that, but that was a case of so much work to uncut, and just, I think, trying to meet a deadline, and not and just saying, look, fanboys, put your hands off your dicks, you have to wait another 4 months, we've got more work on this thing.
Right.
Because that becomes embarrassing for Warner Brothers, for them to say, someone to pick up, and you know someone was going to pick up on it saying, this episode's got this missing, okay, got to go back and make a replacement disc. Yeah. This here in episode 52, it's got something. Go back another replacement.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been consulted with some fucking fanboy who knows every frame of every episode of that television series, saying,
"Right,
okay, we'll hire you for nine months."
Because now that you're saying that, I feel like I remember something there too.
John mentioned it to me when the set had come out. Yeah, you know, John knows everything.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the Batman. I'm talking about the UHF. I do feel like, now that you mentioned that, I don't know if it's like Inception or something, like you planted it in my head, but I do feel like maybe there was something missing there.
I just remember it, because I remember going, that's probably the one scene that was really sort of cringeworthy, going, ugh, you know.
Well, it did feel like it was, but that scene felt unfinished, like when I was watching it was thing, like it just kind of ends.
She looked around the balloons with the I love you, and that was it, and then it cut.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay, maybe it comes later in the film and never turned up.
I guess after we're done with this, we'll look at the deleted scenes and see what's on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it was on the DVD version I got at home, I don't remember. But the VHS, I'm pretty sure I remember it.
We'll have to do some research into that.
Yeah.
If anybody out there knows, midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com.
Yes.
But we're going to look into this as soon as we're done recording.
Yeah.
Because this was the Shout Factory Blu-ray we were looking at.
Which looked good.
Yeah, it looks great.
Man, it looks really good.
It's got a lot of good extras. I don't know how much of them are exclusive to this.
Probably all of them.
I don't remember there being much on the... Maybe a music video or two.
A music video or a trailer at the most. Yeah. That was it.
I don't remember there being a commentary, you know. I don't know, because this one has a commentary.
Yeah, it does.
And I don't know the history of these editions of...
Nah.
Stuff.
No. Nah. But, yeah, I mean, I still found it funny. I mean, we were laughing.
Yeah. You know? Having a good old time with it.
Jackie, Hanna's dog was like,
whatever. Yeah, she didn't get the humor.
No.
She didn't think the scene where the poodles were being made to fly was funny. like the Mexican dude was like, fly poodle, just tossing about the high-rise apartment.
Your dog's like... There's nothing funny about this.
Yeah, she was not happy with that.
Yeah.
The guy's animal plan was it? The turtles are nature's suction cup. Look, and he licks them, tosses them on the ceiling.
So that's the thing as well, like, well, that scene felt unfinished because the guy's going about, I don't want badges, I don't want badges. What? No. I missed it. What
it's a making fun of Treasure of the Sierra Madre with Humphrey Bogart.
All right.
Remember there's the dudes that are like, badges? We don't need no stinking badges.
Never seen it.
Okay. There's a scene where a dude goes, badges? We don't need no stinking badges. So he's like, badgers? We don't need no stinking badgers. It's just recalling that.
Gotcha.
Like,
gotcha.
Like when Stanley does his monologue about rinsing the mop out, you need to say this floor's dirty. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that was like so the metaphor, the mop being the metaphor for life. You get bugs in there and dirt and stuff. You got to rinse it out.
Rinse it all out and start clean all over again.
Sometimes that floor is just too dirty. You got to get down there with the toothbrush and say, this floor's dirty as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And you raised the thing that was definitely a nod. Well, could have been a nod to Toxic Avenger about the mop.
Oh, well, like there's this, the car driving towards the station with Stanley, like raising the mop up. It looked like Toxic Avenger, but
yeah.
That was just a observation. I didn't know if that's what I don't know if that's what they were going for or not.
Yeah.
But, it was funny, but yeah, Michael Richards is kind of the star of the show, unexpectedly.
Yeah, I didn't remember him being that much of a, you know, prominent sort of force in the film, but yeah, man, it was really good, you know. It was I was surprised just how, I mean, you could see Kramer in his performance, you know.
There was
shards of Kramer in there,
but he's
sure.
more like, whoa, over the top, you know. And I like, one of my favorite characters is the weird old guy at the station, Philo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's sort of the magical writing device in the movie.
Yeah.
But he's also an alien who turns into a claymated monster and flies into space.
Kevin, and the main villain at the head of Channel 8 was played by Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, it was great.
Typical Kevin McCarthy performance, you know.
Like they fire Stanley from Channel 8. Because they think he threw out a report, and then, oh, look, I was in my chair the whole time, and then now they're going, it's almost like, it's typical of that snobs versus slobs thing, like, with
Let me ask you something, let's get away from the film for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
What's some of your favorite Weird Al songs?
Some of my favorite Weird Al songs, that is a good question. I mean, I love Smells Like Nirvana.
Yeah.
As far as, like, originals go, I love the song I Remember Larry. It was off of Bad Hair Day, I think.
Oh, right.
And it's the one where he's reminiscing about his friend Larry, who is a prankster, and Larry puts, like, X-Lax of the Brownies, and he does these pranks that are, like, really terrible.
Yeah.
And if anybody ever did them, you would hate them. But the final verse of the song, he murders Larry and buries him in the forest. And like, he's like, but he tells it like he's playing a joke on Larry now. You know?
That's the good thing about Al. I mean, apart from the parodies, he's also very funny with his own songs.
Yeah, he has a lot of good originals. I'm trying to...
The Biggest Bowl of Twine in Minnesota is one of my favorites.
Oh, you know what his magnum opus is, though, is Albuquerque.
Oh, that's the one that goes like 10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a prog song almost.
Yeah, it really is.
That one is really funny. It's like, it's a total original.
Yeah.
And it's just this epic journey about this guy going to Albuquerque, and yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, it's very long. It's like about 10 to 11 minutes, something like that. I like his polka medleys he does.
Oh, the polka ones are he does one on every record, and they're essential. You know.
Yeah.
But
what about your favorite album of his then?
Maybe I don't know. Like the first one I checked out was Bad Hair Day, and that one didn't. I don't remember that one having a bad song on it. But I think Running with Scissors was great. Poodle Hat was really good.
Yeah. Have you gone back into the older catalog of his?
Yeah, yeah, but it's been a long time since I've listened to a lot of it.
Right.
Like, I haven't listened to, like, Dare to be Stupid in a while. I haven't listened to, like, his first few records in a long time.
See, my favorite one of his is In 3D.
In 3D? The
second one, yeah.
Yeah.
That one and Dare to be Stupid are pretty much the same sort of album, you know? Like, they're both as good as each other's one getting at.
Dare to be Stupid, such a great, like, Devo. type song. Because some of his songs, like, they're not necessarily parodies,
but they're
parodies of style.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he did that song Bob, which was, like, making fun of Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And, like, it's all just, like, shit that doesn't make sense. He's like, "And rats don't live on no evil star. Yeah. Drive fast, safe car." And then it'll, like, blow into a harmonica.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that one about, I think Dare to Be Stupid is the best one of his, of the actual parody style that he's doing. Yeah.
And one parody I thought was great was Party at the CIA, which making fun of Party in the USA.
Yeah.
There's Alpocalypse, and White and Nerdy is one that like everybody loves.
Yeah.
So
I'm more of a fan of the older ones.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, I got into them later on, so the older stuff was stuff I went back and listened to.
Yeah.
But they weren't the ones that I was, like, that were on constant rotation. Like, Off the Deep End, Bad Hair Day, Running with Scissors. Those were albums, like, I wore out, you know?
Yeah.
And the new one, Mandatory Fun's pretty good. I like a lot of the songs on there. What was it? I thought Tacky was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The music video for that's a scream too.
Yeah. But what would you give UHF?
I would give it about a I'd give it about a 7 probably.
All right, I'll give it like about a 6.5.
Yeah.
But I would say it's, if you know the film and you don't own it, get the Shout Factory Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, it's worth a purchase. Is it on Netflix? It may be.
I don't know.
I don't think it probably is. But if it's on Netflix, I mean, shit, put it in your queue. And really, you can do a lot worse than watch this film.
Yeah. No, it's if you like lowbrow humor.
Yeah.
It's definitely for you. If you like that Zucker Abrams Zucker / Snobs versus Slob stuff from like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
It's very much in that vein.
Yeah.
So.
And, I'd definitely recommend it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely a favorite of mine growing up. I still enjoy it. So, you know, it's a good, like, kind of mindless thing to laugh at.
I mean, I'll probably pick it up while I'm here. You know, on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not on Netflix streaming, so...
There you go.
Just found that out.
Okay, well, and if... and also, as I was saying about the video from UHF... Remember how I told you about the title of the video from UHF?
Yeah.
I think if you're in Australia, it is just the UHF now. If you can still find the DVD version of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's long gone, but if you find around to some of the secondhand stores, you know, it'll just be on the UHF... Not the video from, So,
that'll be relegated to your used VHS stores.
Yeah, for sure. That was actually the actual soundtrack of UHF was hard to find for the longest
time.
Oh, God, yeah. Of all of Al's albums, I actually had one, which was not... I bought it for like $6 and sold on eBay for $52 or something later, which was, Al reading Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
I had that. And it was just boring. It was not even... But for some reason, it was just hotly sought after. And I found it in a JB Hi-Fi in town for, like I said, $6-$7. And I'm like, yeah, it's Al. All right, I'll pick it up. And then all of a sudden, I'm just on eBay. I'm like, fuck, why is this going for $50 plus for this thing? So I put mine there because I think I put it on tape. And I'm like, yeah, it went like within about the first day easily.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it just sold.
I did think of a favorite Al song that I forgot to mention. You Don't Love Me Anymore.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? If you can pick up the essential Weird Al Yankovic, you pretty much got it covered for about 80% of the good stuff.
Yeah.
There's some in there that were missed, which I was a bit... Like, Ricky wasn't on there, which is the takeoff from Mickey.
Lucy!
Yeah, and get Al's... video collection.
Oh, yeah.
What it's called, I can't remember, but get it. It's great. It goes right back to Ricky, which is the first one. I love Rocky Road, which I love rock and roll, is on there, all from the first album. and all ones through in 3D, did it be stupid, and etc. Up to, oh boy, includes the Phantom Menace one.
Yeah, I think that. So I think it goes. I think it goes up to around Running with Scissors.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and also for those of you who are sort of completists with Owl, Shout Factory did release only on DVD, not Blu-ray, the complete Owl.
Yeah, they did release the
which complete, I had on VHS.
The Owl Show.
Yep. Yeah. The Woody Al Yankovic show is on there, but the complete Owl is the fake documentary thing.
Oh, okay.
Have you never seen it?
No.
Wow, that was done in 1988.
If I have, I've missed it.
If you saw it on VHS, you'd know of it. If you didn't see it on VHS, you wouldn't have seen it anywhere else.
Okay, no, then definitely.
Well, you might want to invest in that, because that's a lot of fun. There's one really funny bit on there. It shows Weird Al's videos, like This Is the Life and like a Surgeon. And, it strings together Al in the studio talking about things, and he talks about this this conspiracy by Pink Floyd about Umma Gumma. Like it's some sort of secret code for saying, I can't remember, but he's going, Umma Gumma! It's all Pink Floyd's fault. But no, the complete L, CompleL.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that around, because I've seen that complete,
I'd get it for you. I mean, it's, okay. Shout released it when they released the UHF.
Okay.
And I wish they had put it on Blu-ray, like, as a limited edition thing with it, or a separate title, but, DVD only, but it's better than nothing. Like I said, I had the VHS, and I ripped the disc, but, obviously the DVD's gonna be better quality,
Was it, speaking of, like, Jim's and Al's videography, did you ever see the VH1 Behind the Music for Weird Al?
No.
Oh my gosh. Here's the thing. You know, the format for VH1 Behind the Music is rise, drugs,
yep,
sex, whatever.
It's formulaic, yeah.
There's the fall, and then the rise again.
Yeah.
Like from the ashes, all right? Yeah. Well, with Weird Al, it's hard to create that narrative. Because there's no drugs, there's no women, he didn't have a marriage he wrecked, there's nothing scandalous in his closet. So,
which makes me surprised I actually got a VH1 story.
Well, yeah, out of it. But it's funny, so they tried to create it through, they go, Weird Al had put out the album Polka Party, which was just the compilation of the polka songs.
Yeah.
He put out the album Polka Party, and it was a bomb. Yeah. And they try to make it seem like his career was almost over because Polka Party was this album that didn't do well. But and they dwell on it. Like, they're like, and because of Polka Party, Al's career was almost over. You know, and it's you just the thing. I'm like, whatever.
Fuck VH1, because Polka Party is a lot of fun to listen to. The way he takes those songs, like... In the Garden of the Vida to a polka tune.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
One of the polkas he did, just Bohemian Rhapsody.
yeah, he did
Bohemian
too.
Bohemian Polka.
Yeah. Bohemian Polka, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to see that, actually. Because that's just ridiculous.
But it was just really funny. But, I mean, it's worth watching if you're an Al fan, because it has some good stories. But I just was laughing, even back when I saw it in high school, because I was like, they really have to impose this narrative on everything.
Yeah, because they've taken pretty much the most clean-cut person in the music industry.
I mean, gosh. You know, it's like... who do you do that? They couldn't even, career-wise, they had to barely invent something. But
it was
funny. But, yeah, anyway. Well, I think that about does it for this show.
It does.
Yeah. So, this is... The next show we do will be an interesting one. We'll just keep it at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that we've been teasing for a while.
Mm.
It's one that, you know, it's the most anticipated show for a while in the history of MMC.
Yeah.
Stuart's excitement level just went through the floor. But
those of you who've been listening will know exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, it's coming. And we're going to bring the fury next show. So that's all we'll say.
And also, from what I'm led to believe, it's going to be a rather oversized cast, as in numbers, than usual with us. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a freaking
conga line. Should be. Can't promise it will be, but that's what the the slate's looking like at the moment.
Maybe you bring Mr. Cole Houston in to moderate or something.
Well, I'd like to see how he can moderate from when I'm in Boston.
Yeah, I know, right?
Half will be in the, up in Boston, the other half over in...
Maybe we can get Brenda Mo bounce us around to keep us in line.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right.
Well, that's it. But it's been great having you here, Stu, in Dallas.
Thanks, mate.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I hope it's not like... I hope you don't have, another, child before I see you again.
Won't be happening.
Won't be happening.
I can assure you of that.
Okay.
Yeah,
last time I saw Stuart, he had 4 children. Now he has 5.
Yeah. And next time I see you, it'll still be 5.
Yeah, it'll still be 5.
And in 20 years' time, it'll still be 5.
No more. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. MidnightMovieCowboys.com. MMCowboys on Twitter.
Yeah.
MidnightMovieCowboys@gmail.com. Shoot us a line. Tell us whether or not we're crazy about the versions of UHF being different. So
yeah.
Yep.
And also, because you haven't heard John in the last 2 episodes, he's not gone nowhere.
No, he's around.
This one was an impromptu on the last minute. The one we did previously, the Avengers one, he's like, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, no, John wasn't interested.
He's like, not interested.
And we knew for a fact that John would not be interested in doing this one either.
Yeah,
John's chastised me on multiple occasions for liking Weird Al. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was like, when you pulled out UHF, I was like, John will not have a problem if we do that.
Probably not.
I said, Weird Al is one of my favorites from when I was a kid. And he goes, yeah, but there are plenty of things I liked when I was a kid that I don't listen to anymore. I don't know why I make him sound like Adam Carolla. But...
or like Kevin McCarthy in this movie.
Yeah. There are plenty of things that I liked when I was a kid that I no longer listen to, you nitwit.
Yep. Naked Ray Gun!
Naked Ray Gun! Anyways.
Yeah, so John will be back with us hopefully next one that we do.
Yeah, hopefully.
I can't do it without him and I can't do it without you.
Yeah,
so.
We'll be there. We'll be there.
And then Rock Month happens when I land back in Melbourne.
So excited! Rock Month!
Yeah, we've been talking, Hunter and I, and we need to, of course, get on the blow with John about what we're going to do, but we've got some... freaking good ideas.
Yes, we do. Oh, it's going to be good.
All
right, everybody.
All right.
Adios.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast. To leave feedback and show suggestions, email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like our Midnight Movie Cowboys show page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and feel free to leave us a review. Listen to us on Stitcher.com or the Stitcher Radio app. Want to help the show out? Visit MidnightMovieCowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate link. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Our personal links are on the right side of our homepage. See y'all next time. Yeah.